This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That is the strangest feeling.
Yeah.
When
you talk into a dead mic.
Yeah. Because you're expecting to hear yourself in your ears, but you don't.
And it's going, welcome back. And it's like this.
Yeah. And it always sounds like just a noise, like a boogaboo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that a lot.
So we are live on 104.1, which eventually is just going to become where you go to listen to KMOX and Cardinal Baseball and the DGS. But today is the first day. You only get one chance to have the rollout, so we're excited about it. They bought us a cake and Rosalita's. And,
Does this mean we get this every day now?
They gave us that big bonus. I'm sure you guys got that.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Really so, life-changing amount of money.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, yeah.
So, no, we're very excited, having a good time. Tonight we have a little soiree going on for our partners and clients, so we'll be leaving here and going there. I'm going to get hammered drunk and make a spectacle of myself.
Well, dang it, I'm not going to be there in time.
I'll wait for you. I'll keep the real troublesome shenanigans to... To a minimum until you get there.
All right, cool, cool. I'll be there around 6:30.
Okay, not to beat a dead horse, not that the Cardinals are ever a dead horse, but I find this interesting because we have been, like, talking about Cardinals opening day lineup ad nauseum, and I thought I had it down. You thought you had it down. Tonight is the last spring training game before the season opener on Thursday, and it's a little different.
It is. So Derek Gould tweeted this out because obviously they're in Memphis, so they'll be taking on the Memphis Redbirds tonight. So a lot of the guys that were just in camp will be facing the team that's going north to be the Major League club. But this is typically when you're going to see the regular lineup, like the one you're planning on for opening day. And if this is the look, I'm a fan, man. I don't want to get too dorky into the lineup details, but a lot of the stuff that we just talked about on the Gas House Gang today, a lot of the things that Bernie and I have talked about and Matt Pauly, we've all been talking about for a month now, are reflected in what we're seeing today. So Nute Barr's leading off, which I love, on-base guy with some pop, and he can run. Contreras hitting second. I think that's the thing in baseball now that teams need to be paying attention to. And it's not new. It's been going on for a long time. But teams hit their best guy second. Mike Trout bats second. Aaron Judge batted second a lot. Like, the best guy tends to bat second. That's, you know, Mookie Betts hits there after Shohei Ohtani. Oh, the Dodgers are a weird example.
Is there a scientific reason that I'm going to find boring?
More at-bats. So when you're batting second, you get more at-bats in a game than you would hitting third. But it also adds to, like, the guys behind you having a chance to drive you in because you're a really good hitter.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that plays into it. But Nute Barr, Contreras, and then Brendan Donovan hitting third, which is not traditional because he's not a power guy, but it continues. Your three best on-base guys are 1, 2, 3. This is what I've been preaching for a long time. Arenado's hitting fourth. I don't like that, but I realize that's going to be the case until Arenado doesn't hit because he's a veteran. I would flip him and Herrera personally, but right now it's Arenado fourth, Burleson fifth, Herrera sixth. I would flip Arenado and Herrera. I think Herrera's a better hitter. But anyway, that and then Walker, Scott, and Wynn to round it out. So Wynn's batting ninth, which is something we've talked about. It takes some pressure off of him. He's not an on-base guy, so you don't want him at the top. He's had a rough spring, and he's slumping, so you want to maybe take some pressure off and go this way. I think that would be a great opening day lineup.
Am I high? Like, I thought I remembered Wynn doing very well last year at hitting.
He did, but it was in spurts, right? So he really struggled in September, as an example. He did not finish well, but some of it was he was probably a bit tired because it was his first full major league season, and he played a lot. I mean, I can't remember the exact number. I think he played like 150 games. So, I mean, he played a lot more than he ever had. But if you look at how it went down, his best numbers came when he was hitting near the bottom of the order. Right. So if you can, Bernie and I have talked about this, which is why we believe the things that we do about where you are in the batting order and why he doesn't really fit there. But normally, again, at the top, you want on base skill. And right now, that's not in his repertoire.
Yeah.
He doesn't walk enough and he swings at pitches that he shouldn't. So it makes it a little bit tougher. But when you look at like where he, you know, what numbers he put up batting first last year, he hit .248 and he was about 5% below league average. But when you look at him hitting the bottom third, he hit closer to .300. And again, some of it's the timing of when those things happened. But his overall season last year was fine. And for a rookie his age was really good. But he tailed off at the end, and I think it was very clear that there were some things that teams were figuring out about him.
Yeah.
And now he's just got to adjust back. I think he's fine. I love this guy. I think he's a future All-Star.
Yeah.
But you're not always going to develop in a linear way.
Yeah.
And sometimes you play to what matters, what works best in the moment.
For example, I'm sure you would agree that our own Rachel Zimmerman is a pro.
Yes.
Brings the cleats to the field every day.
Yes.
She's never going to forget something important.
Not once.
Like earrings.
No.
Oh, my gosh. We have a big day today. We have the client happy hour tonight. And
it's an earring soiree.
It's the kind of thing, if your ears are pierced and then you forget your earrings for the day, you're like, I feel crazy. Like, that was supposed to complete my look, and now my look is not completed.
Did you have them sitting out?
I did. And the thing is, I'm going to change my sweater into a different sweater for the happy hour.
What's that? That's like magic.
I'm going to look different than
Snap
I look right
fingers.
Now. Later, I'm going to look different. But I was like, oh, okay. Because I had tried that on them. Like, I'm going to wear a different sweater to work. I'm not going to put my earrings in yet because I don't want them to get all twisted around when I'm changing clothes. And then by the time I got dressed for work, I forgot to put the earrings in.
I'm glad you said something because we've all been talking.
I was like, damn, dude, Rachel forgot the earrings.
We should have said all that behind her back.
Yeah, we were like, Rachel looks crazy. I can't put my finger on it.
I told Andrew, I'm like, guess what? I have the same amount of earrings as Rachel today.
I was like, no.
No, it's just, do you guys have anything like that where if you forget a little thing, it's like, well, the whole thing is ruined? Like
my watch bracelet combo.
Oh, yeah.
Because I never wear them with my hoodies. But I always wear them with my short sleeves.
Okay.
And if I go out even on a Saturday to Schnucks, short sleeves with nothing on my wrists, I feel very nanky.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What about you, Wheels? You got any outfit completers that you are prone to forgetting from time to time?
Nah.
No.
You can see. I mean,
he doesn't.
I have a shirt and I have pants and I have shoes. It's pretty much.
Yeah, you're not much of an accessorizer,
yeah,
I guess.
We should get him to accessorize.
That's pretty much it.
We should get him some gear.
The only things I'd be mad about if I left home without him would be my wallet and my phone.
I'm surprised you don't wear a watch.
I don't like things on my wrists.
Mm. Yeah, well, it gives you something to play with.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like things on the wrist. I used to have like a baseball chain, like a gold chain with a little baseball thingy on there.
Oh,
and then
cool.
The chain broke. I'm not even kidding you. I didn't take it off for about 20 years.
Damn.
Because I got it in college and I just showered with it, never took it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chain broke and I haven't worn it since.
We should get Kevin.
I've never remembered to just go get a new chain.
We should get Kevin a Jesus piece, like a real big cross, like the rappers wear. Big gold chain.
No, I want a clock. I want to be like Flava Flav. Then I know what time it is.
Why don't you have a watch? Haven't you seen my clock that I wear around my neck?
Yeah. You seen my enormous neck clock?
People always know I know what time it is.
And what's a bathroom divorce?
Okay, so this is kind of like people have bedroom divorces where they don't sleep in the same bed anymore. Like, you're happily married, you just have accepted the fact that we don't sleep well in the same bed. People are doing this with bathrooms now. They don't want to, you know what the other person is doing bowel-wise. They don't want to smell anything. They don't want to deal with their partner's mess. So they've just started. I mean, I would love to live in a home that has more than one bathroom, personally. Like, that sounds like a dream to me. This is for rich people, clearly.
Yeah. If you start a relationship with having separate bathrooms already, like, that's not a real relationship. That's an important part, I think, of the growing together of being in a serious, committed relationship is sharing a bathroom and figuring out how that works.
Taking each other into your fart confidence.
Yes, it's a part of, if you never have to grow through that stage, I think that's going to seriously harm your, like, if you start off on a position like, yeah, come move in with me, I've got 6 bathrooms in my house.
You,
like,
should open a counseling service, and that should be your main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you guys this question.
Couples counseling, but when they sit down, instead of 2 chairs, it's 2 toilets. Have a seat.
Emily is asking, where is Andrew in relation to all of you? Is he in the all window right. behind
you? I'm actually in Edmonton, Alberta,
Watch
Canada.
Watch this. See that camera? Right, so if I go this way, there is Rachel.
Hi.
If we turn around a little bit more, there is Dave.
Hi.
And then off to the side, there's Andrew's little booth. It's actually a very large booth.
Yeah, he's got the biggest room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then we're all kind of
I need a lot of space to graze.
Yeah. It's great.
We should. That was fun when we were like, hi. Hi. We should start the show with that every day. Like, I'm Rachel. Like, I don't know what we would say. It'd be like cheerleading.
So,
like,
should have Kevin walk. We should just have Kevin walk the camera around the room. That's fine.
Yeah. I'll just wear it out like a GoPro. That'd be fun.
I have started. So I watch Channel 4 in the mornings a lot, and it'll go right into CBS Mornings with Gail King.
Okay.
And I've never liked Gail King, and I will admit that it was a stupid Oprah thing, and, like, it's so dumb of me. And so she's a very good broadcaster, but in the very beginning, they do this thing where it's like, I'm Gail King, I'm Flippity Moses, I'm la-da-da-da-da-da. And she goes, like, if one of them's gone, she's like, but we're here, so let's go. And it's your morning in 90 seconds. And I love the 90-second thing. Uh-huh. I love getting all the news in 90 seconds, but I hate when she goes, let's go, and points at me. I'm just like, oh, such hatred I feel.
Too much pressure?
It's just like...
She's just having fun with it.
You know, when people have things.
Yeah?
Like
is she saying,
like I get it.
Like a short, like, let's go, or is she like, let's go?
No, she's like, let's go. Oh. Yeah.
All right.
No, it's not a cool let's go.
She's just looking for something to do. She's broadcasting for hours at a time. Give her a break.
I will join you in the dislike of that.
Well, you didn't even see it. You just heard me describe it.
You have to execute the let's go properly.
Yeah,
otherwise,
like,
I
haven't seen it, but I know it's terrible.
I'm a let's go expert.
It's a Hitlerian effort on my part there. Like, let me tell you about these people you're not going to like. You're like,
yeah.
You know what? That guy's speaking sense. I'm going to do what Dave says.
I'm going where he's going.
Yeah.
You don't like her? I don't like her.
I'm with you, dude.
That's a loyal friend right there.
Yes,
you know what? That's really
is.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I keep forgetting. 322 DGS on KMOX 104.1. KMOX, to be accurate. Am I the only one? I like them. I consume them. But it feels like the world is so crazy that now we're watching murder shows to relax. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's our entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, well, this will be fun.
It's like, it's perfectly, it seems like back in the 80s, they had those Faces of Death videos.
Yeah.
And you were, like, humiliated if you watched one. And I get that that's not exactly Lester Holt. But, I mean, it's a 2-hour show, like, and they say her smile lit up the room. Well, she's dead. I mean, like, you know, that if you're the one who lit up the room, you're gone. And it's just like, we watch these shows for relaxation when they're just very grisly murder shows.
Yeah, like, oh, my stressful day at work. I can't wait to get home and
watch
that 3-hour thing about Gabby Petito getting dragged out into the desert by her boyfriend and murdered. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that current part of our culture, the
darkness.
Well, the entertainmentification of, like, real life
murder
cases.
It is weird.
There's a very popular podcast called My Favorite Murder that I attribute most of that to, because that was the first big true crime thing that was like, oh boy, we have a really fun one for you today. She was cut in half, and she was left on the side of 2 different highways in 2 different states. And
this ain't about podcasts. This has been going on for 30 years, man. We've had unsolved mysteries. We've had all these shows on for decades. It's not new. right? I mean, what were all the unsolved mysteries about? They're all murders. They were all the stories of people disappearing. I mean, it was always that.
Those had a decorum, though, I feel like, in that they were like...
Fair enough, yeah.
People were, of course, like, oh, scandalous, but they at least, it felt like they took the subject matter seriously, or at least were putting forth the face that they were taking it seriously.
We've always been fascinated by those things because they're not normal.
Yeah.
It's not everyone's real life experience, so it's not as... impactful to individuals because so few people experience those things, right? Which is the escape part of it. But we've always been fascinated by that stuff. I mean, people used to go to the public hangings to see people hung for stealing. Like, I mean, I think there's always been that part of us, but it ramps up when you have more. Like, you have 20,000 podcasts and you have a million TV shows and you've got streaming this and streaming that. I mean, we just have a larger number of them now.
Speaking of, I watched, hypocrite here, I watched the miniseries Adolescence on Netflix. Did you watch this?
I did. Two separate series.
Yeah.
The first two episodes were super interesting, and then the second two episodes sucked.
Really?
I did not like them.
Oh, I loved them.
Yeah, did not like them.
I think maybe you didn't get it.
No, I get it. I get it. I get what they did. It just...
What do you think they did? No one's listening.
Yeah, I'm not going to give anything away because obviously it's a story about basically middle school murder in England. And the first two episodes were set up more. You're like, what happened, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's starting to get into, okay, why did this happen? And the police are learning some interesting. And mostly what the show is about is simple. It's about the things that are happening with teenagers that parents don't know about. And the pressures that we've talked about this a lot, right? Mm-hmm. The pressures on young women that are coming from the internet and the pressures that are on young men based on, you know, whether or not they're being pushed aside or they're getting the wrong messages. It's really an interesting premise. It's just that the second two episodes I thought went, I don't want to say off the rails. They just changed directions very fast.
Oh, I loved it. I can't wait to talk to you about this in 2 minutes when we're off the air.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But again, it was well done.
Rach, you think you'll watch this?
I am intrigued. I've had enough people say that it's worth watching that I think I'll check it out. I haven't personally seen anything about it. I've only heard word of mouth.
It's it's gotten good reviews. It's like if you go to IMDb, it's an 8 or 8.1 or something.
Yeah. It was very different, which I appreciated. Like the way they did it was unlike any show I've ever seen.
Yes. There are parts of it that I really, and I like the characters. I thought the acting
was great.
I thought the kid did a great job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a hard role for a 13, 14-year-old kid. Maybe he's a 100%. Little older, but he played younger. But
yeah. And Rach, I think you know this, but every episode is shot in one take. So there four episodes, an hour long. And so when you're watching it, every episode, you get to the end, if they messed up a line or something, they had to start all over again.
Right.
It's like shot like a play.
That's crazy.
Apparently they did like 5 weeks of rehearsals and prep to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that way, it's super interesting because and it's all shot with one camera.
Yes, really? Yeah. Okay, we'll talk. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, 104.1 FM KMOX, to be precise. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hi. I feel good about the flip, and I'm enjoying it.
Good. Congratulations to you. You've been a member of this team for 25 years now. So.
Long, long time.
Big deal.
I've been a member of team longer than Rachel is old.
Yeah, pretty close.
I wish. That's so nice of you
pretty
to say.
Pretty close. So, how are we looking?
We're looking okay. It's a lot of clouds around right now, or certainly partly to mostly cloudy. I don't see anything more than maybe a sprinkle this evening. It's not much in the way of rain, but if you hit one, don't be surprised. We'll be in the 50s, dropping through the 50s for evening plans, 44 for the low. Pretty day on Tuesday, sunshine, 69 degrees for the highs, so a little bit warmer, almost by 10 degrees tomorrow. Quiet Tuesday night, Wednesday sunny and 64. Thursday, of course, opening day, the big day, partly to mostly sunny skies, 70. Much of the day is really nice, but there's going to be some showers moving in, maybe a rumble of thunder, a flash of lightning late afternoon. And because it's kind of a late afternoon game, we have to pay attention to that. It will be wet Thursday night. So my advice is play fast, get the win, and get home.
There you go. Nice.
There you go.
Very nice. Yeah, I'm excited about opening day.
Me too.
Wheels Night get always, to broadcast.
Awesome.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. I wonder who's going to be our guest this year. That sounded really weird. I said that like a four-year-old.
Yeah, you did.
I wonder who will join us this year, says the adult. I wonder who our guests this are going to be.
Let me text Ricky Horton real quick.
Yeah. I don't know. I think our buddy Matt Pajeski is working on some of that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Usually we have Mo on in that latter part of the opening day shows.
Yeah.
Unless he decides to stiff arm me. Like, you know, he talked to me 2 weeks ago. He don't want to talk to me again.
Do we trust Matt?
Oh, yeah. I trust Matt.
I don't know.
He's my son, basically.
I don't know. Seems like he can
Hey, Wheels, who's the new pitcher? I think he's a rookie this year. I don't know his name, unfortunately.
The one that made the team or one that didn't make the team?
I don't know.
Well, there's a guy that everybody's been buzzing about is Michael McGreevy, who went down. He had a great spring, and he went down. Unless you mean Quinn Matthews, who's kind of the hot new prospect, big lefty.
My next door neighbors, they have two kids, relatively young kids who are heavy into baseball, and one of these new pitchers is giving him advice.
Oh, so I would bet on the side of a guy like McGreevy because McGreevy's a California guy.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Let me. The wife couldn't remember the guy's name.
Okay.
And you're going to put up with that, Dave Murray?
That's okay with me.
You have bigger battles.
I'm certainly not teaching about it, bitch.
Yeah, we can do some headlines here. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. This is a crazy story. A passenger says a United pilot forcibly removed him from an airplane bathroom. Now he's suing. So this passenger says he's Orthodox Jewish, and he filed a federal lawsuit against United Airlines and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, claiming he was forcibly removed from an airplane bathroom while experiencing constipation, exposing his private areas to other passengers. So he's in the bathroom trying to use the bathroom. He claims a pilot made disparaging remarks about their Orthodox Jewish faith, and they were paraded through an airport terminal by U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers. So the lawsuit says the pilot broke the bathroom lock, pulled him out with his pants down, and threatened to have them arrested while making derogatory comments about their faith.
So you never know, but I would be surprised if there's not another side to this story. I mean, that's a lot. To have a pilot go like, hey, there's a Jew in the bathroom and he won't come out. Let's go rough him up. I mean, that's kind of weird. The guy was in there for 30 minutes. I think that that is a safety risk.
Okay.
I think that any flight attendant or captain or co-captain would say, this is getting a little sketchy. And when they were knocking on the door, he was refusing to come out.
Okay.
So, do I want to be pulled out showing my genitals to everyone? No, but I feel like there may be another side to these pancakes.
The White House is reportedly seeking a corporate sponsor for the annual Easter egg roll. This is a tradition that dates back nearly 150 years, not seeking a corporate sponsor, just the Easter egg roll part.
Right. Old Lincoln, he was out there trying to get those sponsors.
They're calling the move unprecedented, and people are concerned about ethics rules. But if you become a sponsor of the Easter egg roll, you could receive perks like naming rights, logo placement, and private White House tours, which, of course, raises concerns about potential corruption.
Yes, it does.
I saw that last night, and my initial reaction was, what the hell? This sounds ridiculous. Apparently, any money that comes from it is going to basically the White House Events and Promotions Society, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan thing that runs things like the Easter egg thing and all of that. So I was a little less worried about it when I saw that that's where the money's going.
I would rather not have that money and not have us putting NASCAR stickers on
kids. I don't disagree, but we're also doing Tesla commercials in front of the White House.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's
right.
Worse than
yeah.
that.
Which is insane. Sweet. Remember when a brown suit was a big deal?
Right, mom jeans.
Like, oh no.
Speaking of Tesla, the FBI is warning Americans of escalating attacks on Tesla cars and dealerships. There's all these fires that are being set. There was one at a Tesla charging station in Fargo, North Dakota. This incident is a part of a series of apparent acts of domestic terrorism, they're calling it, against Tesla, including arson attacks in Las Vegas and Kansas City. So people suspect that this is linked to Elon Musk's support for Donald Trump and his role in the Department of Government Efficiency.
If you're attacking someone else's car because you're mad at the person who made the car, you are really in a bad way. There's something wrong with your head. Right?
Yeah, how like, what are you trying to accomplish by doing that?
I mean, the problem I get, and I get it, because the problem here is that you have the people that really hate Elon, and I despise that guy. I think he's a bad guy. I think he's got bad intentions. But I don't ascribe his personality or beliefs to anyone that buys one of his cars. A lot of people bought those cars because they think of it for the ecosystem. Like, the ecosystem.
The environment?
The environment.
The environment.
Good Lord, Wheeler.
Kevin's nervous because Channel 5 is here filming.
I don't want to say anything smart because then people get their expectations up. So if I dumb it down a little bit, then people will be surprised when they hear me.
They're buying them because they love the ecosystem. Oh, you stupid idiot.
That was a
stupid fool.
That's kind of a Farley moment, wasn't it?
Idiot.
That'll make the news.
Yeah.
Idiot. Yeah, that's what Mike Bush is going to lead with now.
That'd be great. I would cheer that
Wheeler
on.
Wheeler loses it.
Wheeler crashes out live on the air.
He doesn't know what words mean.
A Twitter bird sign from the defunct San Francisco office sold for nearly $35,000 at auction. So you guys might remember the Twitter bird sign. It was known as Larry. They took it down when they changed the name of Twitter to X. And it adorned Twitter's old headquarters. It weighed 560 pounds. It measured 12 feet by 9 feet.
That's a decent price.
Yeah, yeah. Its estimated worth was $40,000. So someone got it at a little bit of a deal there. The auction company did not disclose the buyer. I wonder who would want the Twitter sign that bad.
You'd have to have some space.
Yeah, you would.
No kidding.
Okay, here's some wedding woes. The average wedding in 2025 is costing couples $33,000. Now, this is down from $35,000 in 2023, but I just think this is insane. And personally, I would put that money towards a house or something.
Yeah,
just
good point.
I would take those numbers and run right now if I could get them.
Dave's like, can we just book this right now?
I'm living. Look,
can I
I'm
get it on
living
the,
in fear?
Dave's like, can I get it on layaway?
Phoebe's been seeing this new guy, and like, you know, Morgan's asking the normal questions. I'm like, so big family planning a big wedding, like high expectations, destination perhaps. You know, I'm getting screwed on that.
Well, you're not going to be able to say no to anything because it'll
of be
Phoebe
not.
Asking
no,
you.
Of course not.
It'd be like, yes, everything. You want a giraffe? We got a giraffe.
Let's do one more story here and then we'll take a break. The Jonas Brothers. You guys know the Jonas Brothers?
Very well.
They're bringing the Jonas 20 tour to St. Louis. I kind of can't believe this has been a band for 20 years. But the 43-date stadium and arena tour includes a stop at St. Louis's Enterprise Center at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, October 8th. I was never like a huge, it was not really my thing, but my friend Shelby from high school was really into Jonas Brothers, and she burned me a CD back when people were burning CDs. Yeah. And I enjoyed a couple of the songs.
Yeah, back to the Phoebe obsession. I got her backstage to meet the Jonases, and her friend, who was riding her coattails, jumped in on the good Jonas. Phoebe got the bonus Jonas.
Wait, there's a good and there's a bonus?
Yeah, there's a good, there's a so-so. There's a maybe, then there's the bonus Jonas.
Oh, there's four of those guys.
Yeah, I think the fourth is sort of like Jimmy Osmond, got like a lazy eye.
Oh no.
Well, there's Kevin Jonas. He's like,
that's the one.
He's the best one, right?
Well, no.
Then there's
dang it.
There's Joe Jonas, who was kind of considered to be the hot one until Nick Jonas grew up a little bit, and then he's like the most popular Jonas by a lot.
And there's Brumbus Jonas. He was kind of the one that nobody
Brumbus
talks about.
Jonas.
Steve's gonna go back to K. They can't. They're like, you get some good stuff. I'm like,
yeah, oh,
no, oh, yeah. No, I did not.
Thank you, Dave.
Yep.
Welcome back, guys. GGS 104.1 FM KMOX, K Kathy says, I just moved over to 104.1 and y'all sound much smoother. Love you guys.
Oh, awesome. Smoother. I like that.
I'm looking for smooth.
I'll take smooth.
Ideally, on FM, I sound like Kevin does on AM.
Stupid.
Nice and loud.
Yeah.
I say dumb things.
I'm even louder on FM. Woo.
It's National Cocktail Day, and it's also National Cheesesteak Day.
I like
those should
of those
probably
things.
Go together. Yeah,
they kind of do go together, don't they? The new diet craze going around is eat like a baby.
Okay, would you like to expand upon that?
Drinking bottles?
Yeah, I eat like a fat baby.
You just wear a diaper. You eat slowly, you eat mindfully, and you don't snack because babies can't snack because they only get what grown-ups give them.
Why did that sound so cute describing that?
I don't think a baby eats mindfully.
Yeah, babies don't eat mindfully.
It's the opposite of mindful.
Yeah, they're not sitting
just
there
grab
like,
a handful, like shove it in their mouth.
My friends have twin 2-year-olds, and they just like, they grab crackers, and then they just like throw them, and sometimes they stuff them into their face.
What about the babies? Crackers, that sounds like a snack.
And that's just me.
And as we all know,
babies
can't
don't get snacks.
Yeah. Do you guys see that we have undercounted the world population?
Oh.
Possibly by billions.
Oh.
So this whole time.
Seems like a big mess up.
So here's how you knew. We've known for a while that we had 8 billion people. But then the UN came out and they said 8.2. Uh-huh. So they put like a little fine line on it.
Yeah.
And then the boys in the truck started checking into it. And they're like, how exactly are you counting this? And they told them and they're like, you're way off.
Yeah, they're hedging.
Like they're not counting a lot of people. So they say it could be as many as 10.
What?
Yeah.
Couple extra billion here.
Couple
and
extra
there.
Billion.
How do you miss 2 billion people?
As many as 10 people. That's a lot of people.
UN. What are you going to do?
Yeah, how do they do that? Do they just get everyone's census and then like, okay, well,
kind of
add them all together?
Yeah, kind of.
Just eyeball it.
Like third world countries are very difficult to do that. They don't typically have the kinds of things that we do. Mm-hmm. So they have different ways of doing it. Bob Weir from the Grateful Dead says that he is very much looking forward to death. He says, I tend to think of death as the last and best reward for a life well lived. That's an interesting take.
I got to tell you. Must feel good feeling that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's a better way to feel than like being super scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I know his is not coming from a religious view, but I think a lot of religious people view it that way.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I know my aunt, who was a nun, when she knew it was coming because she had a lot of lung problems and some things like that, she was like, I'm fine. I'm happy. I know I'm going, you know, like I'm good with this.
There's a new trend of people going under general anesthesia to get a tattoo.
Oh,
I'll do it. I don't want to, you know, that's scary.
Like, well, then I think a lot
I
of people
I want
would...
abs, but I don't want to do crunches.
Exactly. I would love that too. If you can do it.
That's true.
I'll take it.
I would too. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I guess that is fair now that you explain it, you put it in those terms, you know.
What terms do you put them in?
I want abs, but I don't want to do crunches.
Oh.
Yeah.
I want the good, but I don't want to do the work.
I want the good. I don't want the bad.
I don't know. I got to be honest with you.
Who wants the bad?
So I don't.
Give me the good, please.
Dave, you're the only person in the tattoo community that is in this studio.
Yeah.
If you found out that other people did that for their tattoos, or do you think that would be a thing you're judged about in the group of people that get tattoos?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I figured it would be too.
Yeah.
Like, you got to earn that.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if you already know I'm a wuss and then I'm like, look at my cool tattoo.
What if there's like no question about it at all?
Yeah. Well, and I you see my tattoo and I'm like, yeah, I got knocked out 6 hours for it. It was great.
You just get a big giant one that says wuss.
Yeah.
Do not resuscitate. You know, there are people that get DNR tattooed on their chest.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Did you learn that from the pit?
No, I learned that from tattooers.
Dave's like, really? I learned that in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned that in prison.
All of Dave's tattoos were done by a tattoo gun with an ink pen and a lighter.
I got to tell you, man, those are some of my favorite TikToks, though, are guys that used to be in prison telling the stories about how that all works.
Oh, yeah.
And I never want to experience that, but it's fascinating.
One of my favorite guys makes, like, prison recipes. So he'll show you how to make candy out of, like, half and half creamer and sugar. Yeah. And, yeah, it's fun. It's fun to watch.
I grew up in the first iteration of Scared Straight.
Yeah.
Before anyone figured out that shouldn't be on network television. I remember watching that. You're going to make me your what? Bitch? What? What does that even mean? I don't even understand the concept.